for not Monday, so already the week is better. So much better. Crazy much better. It's a better level that you've ever bettered than has ever been bettered. I don't know how to do all the tenses and whatnot. Hi, we're the folks from GeekRadioDaily.com welcoming you to the 12th of November, which means soon the Ides of November are here. I'm giving you a couple of days to look that up to see if it's right. The folks that are bringing the tea today, well, the man that knows how he's got to start living his life at work. But there's podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
You want to get out of here?
Oh, okay. I didn't realize we could leave early. It's one of those days. Hi, everybody. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
I'm like Superman. I know when I'm needed.
Damn right I do. Never. What happened today, sir?
I disagree. I think you're always needed.
Aww.
1799, American astronomer Andrew Ellicott Douglas makes the first written record of a meteor shower in the U.S., the Leonids meteor shower from a ship off of the Florida Keys.
1901, the first Nobel Prize for Physics is awarded to Wilhelm Röntgen for the discovery of X-rays, even though he did it accidentally.
Well, it took so long for the glasses to come in. 1915, Theodore William Richards of Harvard University becomes the first American to be awarded the Nobel Prize in Chemistry.
1933, Hugh Gray captures what he claims to be the first known photo of Jack the Loch Ness Monster.
Only because Loch Ness Monster's so shy.
Yep.
1935, Portuguese neurologist Antonio Egas Moniz performs the world's first modern frontal lecutomy, Greek for cutting white, in Lisbon. The procedure involves Moniz drilling holes in the patient's skull in order to inject pure alcohol, boy, kids these days, into his frontal lobe to destroy the tissue in an effort to alter his behavior, as alcohol tends to do. It will later lead to the development of the modern procedure known as a lobotomy. And of course, we all know I'd rather have this bottle in front of me than a frontal lobotomy.
1937, Alan Turing publishes a paper entitled On Computable Numbers with an Application to the Ehlers-Danlos Problem. In it, Turing provides an abstraction that will form the basic theory of computability for several decades. Later renamed the Turing machine, this abstract engine described in his paper will provide the fundamental concepts of computers that other inventors will later conceive of independently, and it can find replicants.
1940, the Batman Bat trademark is Bat registered.
1941, the first heredity clinic in the U.S. is opened by the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor. The clinic collects data on human heredity and offers family counseling.
Once you find out who's in your family tree, all right. 1946, the first Autobank, which allows banking by car, opens in Chicago.
1946, in Japan, the United States Army holds a contest pitting a champion Japanese abacus user against a U.S. soldier operating the most cutting-edge calculating machine of the day. In 4 out of 5 rounds, the abacus user wins.
Is this where we get that John Henry story from?
That's pretty much it.
1980, the NASA space probe Voyager 1 makes its closest approach to Saturn, passing within 77,000 miles of the planet's south pole. And it also transmits images of Saturn's rings across nearly a billion miles of space, all the way back to NASA.
1981, the Space Shuttle Columbia becomes the first spacecraft to be reused on a second mission when it's launched 310 GMT from Cape Canaveral. The Columbia will successfully complete 27 missions before being destroyed upon reentry February 1st, 2003, during the course of mission STS-107.
1984, astronaut Joseph Allen executes the first salvage operation in space when a $35 million Palapa B-2 communication satellite is retrieved by the crew of the Space Shuttle Discovery.
Same day, same year, Richard Sandaza's article on the world of hacker BBS, The Night of the Hackers, appears in Newsweek magazine. It introduces many would-be hackers to BBS tech, significantly contributed to the popularity of BBS communities in the mid-80s, and that's why the internet is here.
1990, with help from Robert Kailau, Tim Berners-Lee publishes a formal proposal for the World Wide Web. The proposal is based on an earlier proposal, Information Management, a proposal written in March 1989, and based on an even earlier one from 1986 called Cats and Porn. How else are we going to get them?
2000, at the Comdex trade show, Microsoft Chairman Bill Gates demonstrates a proposed tablet PC initiative which would convert handwritten pen strokes into graphics? What?
2001, the first uncompressed real-time gigabyte HD TV transmission over a wide area IP network takes place on Internet 2, the legend of Al Gore's gold.
2003, Nokia confirms that hackers have cracked the copy protection system of games designed for the N-Gage video game system, and that's the reason it didn't sell.
Totally. Darn pirates. 2006, Eng Chung Yang, age 16, of Singapore, breaks the Guinness World Record for the shortest time needed to type a 160-character SMS message at a competition organized by Singapore Telecommunications. The previous record of 42.22 seconds was set by American Ben Cook in July. Yang's new record is 41.52 seconds, which is why Americans don't like being beaten by other countries. That's why we now have emojis.
2008, India's first unmanned lunar probe, Chandrayaan-1, enters orbit around the moon at an altitude of roughly 100 kilometers above the surface.
2009, Microsoft launches its online mobile marketplace.
2010, Google discontinues its 1-800-GOOG-411 directory assistance service without announcing a reason, because they didn't want to hear a bunch of people go, "It's stupid." Birthdays?
Anne Hathaway, 37. From Hoodwinked, Brokeback Mountain, Get Smart, Dark Knight Rises, Alice Through the Looking Glass, Ocean's 8, and if you haven't seen it, definitely go out and watch it, Colossus.
You mean the really giant guy that they stab with an oversized needle? That's really cool. Ashley Williams is 41 from How I Met Your Mother, The Jim Gaffigan Show.
Rhoda Mitchell, 46, from Pitch Black, Phone Booth, Finding Neverland, Silent Hill, Olympias, and London Has Fallen.
Vincent Irizarry is 60. That's Deimos in Days of Our Lives.
The very talented and incredibly sexy Megan Mullally, 61 years old. Once Bitten, Will and Grace, Monkey Bone, Bob's Burgers, Nick Offerman's Muse.
Notice how I left out that season two of Breaking In there. Wallace Shawn is 76 from Strange Invaders, Princess Bride, Mom and Dad Save the World, Meteor Man, A Goofy Movie, Haunted Mansion, and of course, Book Club.
He made it to 76.
Who'd have thunk it?
Incomprehensible. Born this day no longer with us, 1840, Auguste Rodin, French sculptor and illustrator, created a thinker, and also known to occasionally destroy Japan.
1922, Kim Hunter, from A Streetcar Named Desire, Dr. Zira in three of the Planet of the Apes movies, Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil.
And 1929, Grace Kelly, from Dial M for Murder, Rear Window, The Swarm, among many other things.
And she's glad we remembered The Swarm.
I'm sure. CBS, we've got a new NCIS, a rerun of FBI, and NCIS, we're good.
ABC's got a new The Conners, Bless This Mess, Mixed-ish, Black-ish, and Dolly Parton, Here She Comes Again.
Man, that is a talented lady. NBC Live Top 20 on a new The Voice, This Is Us. Sharp finds himself in a difficult situation when she takes a risk for a patient on a new Amsterdam.
Over on Fox, it's a new episode of The Resident. Then Candace and Carol decide to help distract Cookie from thinking about Lucius by taking her on a special girls' trip to Miami on a new Empire.
Are we sure it's Lucius and not Luscious?
Pretty much.
Okay, I never watch it. CW knew The Flash, and while attempting to decipher the Monitor's mission, Mia and William's team face a new foe on a new Arrow.
Freeform has Home Alone 2. This child has bad parents.
AMC, The Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1.
FX has Despicable Me 3.
Simpsons Marathon on FXX with Camp Crustier 22 for 30 and Caper Chase.
FXM is showing Logan. There you go. Awesome. There's a good movie.
Hell yeah. IFC has Rambo 3.
There you go. That's not a good movie. BBC America's got Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King.
Oh, there you go. That's a long movie. Paramount Network has a new Ink Master.
Sci-Fi Channel, Mad Max, Fury Road.
Oh, now that's a good movie. TBS, you better watch your filthy mouth on a new The Misery Index.
TNT's got The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug.
Now, that was an unnecessary movie. Science how the universe works.
USA WWE SmackDown. But tonight we're watching the Hallmark Channel because a woman convinces a famous travel writer to do a feature story about her hometown in Utah. And as the town's tourism starts to take a turn in the right direction, her heart begins to feel torn between the travel guru and his ghostwriter, Kelly Pickler, Tyler Hines, and Christopher Roos star in The Mistletoe Secret.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Abby has a vision of JJ saying he hates her, and she goes to great lengths to throw him the best birthday party ever. But things change after Eric and Jennifer get food poisoning and can't provide transportation to the zoo. If I had a nickel, Abby decides to throw a party anyway and calls around for an animal attraction to come to the house. She almost got Kinky Kelly. They do manage to find a guy called Scoundrel Sonny, but when he accidentally eats some of the food that poisoned Eric and Jennifer, Abby's got to make some changes and become Alligator Abby. Don't worry about Eric. He made some minor adjustments and feels better. And Jennifer is living in color. Living. Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
No blasted lettuce today.
Well, I know there's not, because so many people were just terrified of being in the Nightmare Cafe that they're like, I don't know that I want to write in. Well, Chad and Abby are no longer in the Nightmare Cafe, but you've got to figure out where they are. Now, you just heard there's a party involved, but I promise no cheese fries, so that's still standard. Drop us a note, won't you please? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com, or of course, you can tell us all about it in a voicemail by dialing
510-GRD-CROW.
Just wait till you see where they are next week. Gosh.
50 years ago, Mira, humankind's last hope to find new resources, departed the solar system. 7 years into her mission, she disappeared. She has returned. SNR Black, a Sol Federation Marine Corps vessel, is sent to retrieve her from certain destruction in the Kuiper Belt beyond Pluto. What they find will change humankind forever. From Parsec Award-winning author Paul E. Cooley, Derelict, Marines, Part 1 of the Derelict Saga, combines military sci-fi, space opera, mystery, and suspense to create a journey you won't forget. Podcast available at shadowpublications.com. Paperback and ebook available from amazon.com. Some mysteries shouldn't be solved.
Wait, where's...
Geek Radio Daily? What's Geek Radio Daily? That sounds awesome. Why aren't you listening to it? My name is Steven.
Or Zach Allison, or whatever I'm doing today. Well, listen to Geek Radio Daily. That's the point.
That's always the point. Zach Callison would never lie to you. Name one time Zach Callison's ever lied. You can't do it.
Sir.
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
But you still collect them. What are we adding to the collection, sir?
Well, in our classic TV section, we've got Star Trek Discovery Season 2.
Cobra Kai Seasons 1 and 2.
Oh, it's so good. I gotta get that. Big Bang Theory, the complete 12th and final season.
From the actual classic TV department, Doctor Who, the Macra-Terra, which is like macaroni and cheese come to life.
From must-be anime based on title alone, we've got Natsu no Arashi, the complete collection.
Bungo Stray...
I made a curse there. I'm sorry if I did.
Bungo Stray Dog, seasons 1 and 2.
Valkyrie Drive, Mermaid, the complete series.
In our re-release collection, the Infinity Saga Collector's Edition, which includes digital copies and 4K versions of all of the Marvel Cinematic Universe for $550.
Cheap beasties. Dead End Drive-In. I don't know what that is, but I love the title.
It's a decent slasher flick from the 80s. Chud, which is just so much better than that title.
Wait, are you talking about cannibalistic humanoid underground dwellers?
I say in caution, hazardous urban disposal.
Oh, fair enough. Must have been a prequel. So we've also got The Stuff.
Just ain't enough of that. And of course, House 2, the second story. They're funny.
One of the best subtitles to a movie ever. In our regular movie aisle, we've got Bliss.
We have the Claire Wizard Thesis, which I can't wait to see the movie of them reading.
Yeah, that sounds like a real thinky piece. Aquarelleria?
2020, Fallen Earth.
Southern Chillers.
Aliens, Down Under.
Oh, is this a new Crocodile Dundee movie?
Yeah.
That'd be neat. Flesh Blanket.
Cross, Rise of the Villains.
Could it be Satan? We've also got The Pretenders.
I love them. They're so good. Back on the Chain Gang. Polaroid is a movie, not just a thing that your parents talk about.
We've also got Good Boys, which could either be something about dogs or not.
We have the underappreciated and apparently better version of Rain Man called The Peanut Butter Falcon.
Which could be about dogs or... We've also got The Angry Birds Movie 2, you know, answering all of those questions.
47 meters down, Uncaged.
It's what I've heard is pointless. And also, the great Zach Callison in it. We've got Steven Universe the Movie.
But we're getting the story of someone who has an encounter with Bigfoot as a young child. Kiana's her name. She felt a connection with the creature she encountered. And with the help of fellow Sasquatch experiencers, she sets out to Bigfoot territory, exploring secret locations with recent sightings on a quest to re-encounter the mysterious and mystical creature and find closure to the biggest question of her life. Kiana Passmore, Tom Sewitt, and James Tyson star in Bigfoot Girl.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Even after the passing of Wes Craven, his creations continue to live on.
One, two, Freddy's coming for you.
Well, I mean, not this time. Gary Barber's Spyglass Media Group is currently developing the next Scream, based on the franchise created by Craven and writer Kevin Williamson.
I don't want to wait for Ghostface to start killing.
Craven directed all four Scream films before his passing. A buffet of filmmakers would get behind the camera for the television series that was two seasons on MTV and a third on VH1.
Yeah, but the pop-up video style really broke the tension they tried to build.
No word if the next film will continue to be something in the Cravenverse or part of the series or something brand new. All we do know is Williamson is not writing the screenplay, which is not surprising as he's still working on All I Can Think About Is What You Did the Last Summer I Started Keeping Up with Summers in 3D.
Apple has 1 week before their new streaming service debuts, so they're rather busy expanding their library of content. One of those future properties is a thriller featuring two recognizable faces in front of and behind the camera.
A CGI Robert Stack Unsolved Mysteries returns?
Man, wish. But no, Severance. It's the new series to come out of Endeavor Content, makers of the upcoming Truth Be Told, and will star Adam Scott from Big Little Lies, Parks and Recreation, lots of things, and executive producer and director Ben Stiller.
Which means this could go either way.
I have a lot of faith. I loved Cable Guy, but Severance is a workplace thriller that is set at Lumen Industries, a company looking to take work-life balance to a new level. Scott will star as Mark, an employee with a dark past trying to put himself back together.
See the morale-building meetings. Watch the brainstorming sessions. Cheer when the ultimate goal is achieved. Synergy!
We'll be able to tell if Adam Scott is a good guy whether or not his hair is up or his hair is down. How you can always tell if he's a jerk. But the series was created by Dan Erickson from Treasure Trouble, a sibling mystery, and has been in development for months. Erickson will be writing the entire series and executive producer alongside Chris Black from Outkast and Desperate Housewives. Stiller will be also be executive producing and directing each episode, marking his latest TV project since his recent wins for his work on Escape from Dannemora. Scott will also be a producer for the series. This will either be the greatest moment in television history, or he will be ghosted. Remember how he had a show called Ghosted? Yeah. No, and neither did the execs.
Profiles in History has officially announced a comics and illustration art, the property of a distinguished American collector, an auction featuring high-value pieces of original comic book artwork from some of the industry's most influential or otherwise esteemed creators. The auction will take place Thursday, December 12th in Los Angeles.
Dude, it's not even Thanksgiving. It is not time to start dropping your Christmas list.
Headlining the auction is the late Bernie Wrightson's wraparound cover for Marvel Comics' 1983 illustrated edition of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, dubbed the finest pen and ink illustration of the 20th century. The cover is expected to sell from anywhere between $750,000 to $1 million.
Wow, they really are putting on the race!
Another key product is Jack Kirby and Vince Coletta's complete 16 pages of original artwork from the story To Die Like a God, originally published by Marvel in 1966's Thor 139. The Silver Age era artwork consists of pencil and is on a large comic art stop and is estimated to sell for $60,000 to $80,000. Kirby, of course, considered one of the most influential comic book artists of all time, who frequently collaborated with inker Coletta.
Cool, but they gave away the ending.
Kirby also has his and John Vertaportin's original artwork from 76's Eternals 2. The 17-page story titled The Celestials is expected to get $40,000 to $60,000, and they're reminding everybody that, hey, the Eternals is going to be a big Marvel superhero movie on the big screen. It's going to get out in 1 year's time.
Oh, it's a collector's item. Buy a second one with a foil hologram cover for just a fraction less.
Kirby isn't the only legendary Marvel artist to be featured at the auction, as artwork by Spider-Man and Doctor Strange co-creator Steve Ditko will be available for purchase. Profiles in History is auctioning off several original pieces of Ditko's artwork from Marvel's Amazing Spider-Man series, including art from multiple key issues. A total of 6 pages are to be sold as part of the Ditko collection, each estimated between $20,000 to $60,000.
I paid $10,000 for one of those pages, but all I got was the letters to the editor.
Plenty of additional items will also be sold, including work by the likes of R. Crumb, John Buscema, Brian Bolin, Michael W. M. Kaluta. The lineup of original art also boasts complete stories not only from Marvel and EC, but DC, ooh, Mad Magazine, Warren Publishing, and pieces from Neil Adams, Gene Colan, Will Eisner, Jack Davis, Harvey Kurtzman, Gil Kane, Johnny Craig, Graham Ingalls, Russ Heath, Joe Kubert, John Romita, Jim Steranko, Bernard Kierigston, David Lloyd, Mike Plug, Mort Drucker, Jeff Jones, Jim Lee, Adam Hughes, San Julian, Mike Zeck, Ken Kelly, and Barry Windsor Smith. And if you pay a little extra, my doodles will be left off of the artwork completely.
Speaking of art none of us can afford, Dean DuBois' beautiful How to Train Your Dragon trilogy is getting the art museum treatment with an exhibit coming this month to LA, featuring more than 200 works of art, including sketches, digital renderings, and video installations. Hopefully the exhibit is the kind that welcomes photography and public shows of excessive crying.
Most people would leave, not us. We're Vikings! We have stubbornness issues.
Curated by Paris-based art Ludique Le Musset, the artistic journey of How to Train Your Dragon trilogy exhibit will display behind-the-scenes peaks, interviews, and art inspired by the beloved DreamWorks films. The exhibit debuted in Paris and then became one of the centerpieces in the 2019 Annecy Film Festival in June. During its month-long installation in Annecy, the exhibit reportedly saw over 20,000 visitors.
But when do I get to see the sailboat?
The exhibit will be at LA's Pacific Design Center for a two-day run on Saturday, November 16th and Sunday, November 17th. Both days will feature a screening accompanied by a Q&A. DuBlois, producer Bradford Lewis and Bonnie Arnold, production designer Pierre-Olivier Vincent, visual effects supervisor Dave Wolverd, head of character animation Simon Otto, and composer John Powell will attend the Q&A on the 16th, while cast members Jay Baruchel and America Ferrara will join DuBlois, Lewis, and Arnold for the Q&A on November 17th. And if you aren't able to see the exhibit, I recommend going out and checking out Dragon Hunters. Came out about the same time and is a gorgeous movie.
And it's Ghost Dog.
Why are you saying that about the film?
And in sort of art, but mostly cosplay news, let us talk Steven Universe. The Yay. Royal heir, galactic savior, budding fashion maven, voice actor is a friend of the show, and now you can wear his best outfit for real.
My appearance is just a conscious manifestation of light.
I know how that is. While everyone grew up in a couple of years in Steven Universe, the movie, we get an opportunity to see a fantastic redesign for our hero, Steven Universe himself, swapping out his old red shirt for a new light blue. He also has a fabulous pink varsity-style jacket that suits him just perfectly. It both shows his age, varsity jackets are a very teenage thing after all, while also being great fashion and a nice nod to his heritage.
Have you seen my pants? They're also very important.
Now Steven's outfit is buyable. Cartoon Network, in collaboration with Daylight Curfew, is selling a replica of Steven's jacket with a sewn-in blue interior, complete with a yellow star pattern. It just screams, Steven Universe! Steven Universe! If you want authentic cosplay or just a rad jacket, you could do a hell of a lot worse.
You know, my pants are fire. I'll be ready every day for as long as I can say where I am in the future with my friends. That's why Happily Ever After never ends.
The jacket, which isn't cheap because it's like $200, is currently on back order because pre-orders sold out quickly, but you can sign up for a wait list for when it goes back on sale, and, you know, it just might be worth it. I can make a promise. I can make a plan. I can make a difference. I can take a stand. I can make an effort if I only understand that I can make a change.
You make that change with the man in the mirror.
Journey is licensed to the Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative Works, States 3.0 license. Yeah, we write down all of this. All of that was scripted just now. Every single bit of it. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter. Stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. And of course,
wait, hold on, I need to scroll down. Yes, it's all scripted.
Insert amusing anecdote here. Oh, right. Well, there was one time. Drop us a note, won't you please? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Of course, send us a voicemail too.
510-GRD.
And we'll go kick the writer so we can have something to say tomorrow.
What the hell are you still doing here?
I think I'm out of witty banter.
Good night, everybody.
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
It's happening! Use the moose!
Climbing the rope. And he's gaining on us.
Inconceivable.
Faster!
I thought I was going faster.
You were supposed to be this colossus. You were this great legendary thing, and yet he gains.
Well, I'm killing three people, and he got only himself.
I do not accept excuses. I'm just going to have to find myself a new giant, that's all.
Don't say that, Vincini, please.
Did I make it clear that your job is at stake?